Welcome to day 75 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita, your host from Hidden with Christ Ministries. I'm so glad that you've joined me today. We are reading from the New American Standard Bible this week, and we are reading Deuteronomy chapters 14 through 16. So beginning at Deuteronomy 14, verse 1. You are the sons of the Lord your God. You shall not cut yourselves, nor shave your forehead for the sake of the dead. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God, and the Lord has chosen you to be a people for his own possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. You shall not eat any detestable thing. These are the animals which you may eat: the ox, the sheep, the goat, the deer, the gazelle, the roebuck, the wild goat, the ibex, the antelope, and the mountain sheep. Any animal that divides the hoof and has the hoof split in two and chews the cud among the animals, that you may eat. Nevertheless, you are not to eat of these among those which chew the cud or among those that divide the hoof in two, the camel and the rabbit and the shaphan. For though they chew the cud, they do not divide the hoof. They are unclean for you. The pig, because it divides the hoof but does not chew the cud, it is unclean for you. You shall not eat any of their flesh nor touch their carcasses. These you may eat of all that are in water. Anything that has fins and scales you may eat, but anything that does not have fins and scales you shall not eat. It is unclean for you. You may eat any clean bird, but these are the ones which you shall not eat: the eagle and the vulture and the buzzard and the red kite, the falcon and the kite in their kinds, and every raven in its kind, and the ostrich, the owl, the seagull, and the hawk in their kinds, the little owl, the great owl, the white owl, the pelican, the carrion vulture, the cormorant, the stork, and the heron in their kinds, and the hoopoe and the bat. And all the teeming life with wings are unclean to you. They shall not be eaten. You may eat any clean bird. You shall not eat anything which dies of itself. You may give it to the alien who is in your town so that he may eat it, or you may sell it to a foreigner, for you are a holy people to the Lord your God. You shall not boil a young goat in its mother's milk. You shall surely tithe all the produce from what you sow, which comes out of the field every year. You shall eat in the presence of the Lord your God at the place where he chooses to establish his name, the tithe of your grain, your new wine, your oil, and the firstborn of your herd and your flock, so that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. If the distance is so great for you that you're not able to bring the tithe, since the place where the Lord your God chooses to set his name is too far away from you, when the Lord your God blesses you, then you shall exchange it for money and bind the money in your hand and go to the place which the Lord your God chooses. You may spend the money for whatever your heart desires, for oxen or sheep or wine or strong drink or whatever your heart desires, and there you shall eat in the presence of the Lord your God and rejoice, you and your household. Also, you shall not neglect the Levite who is in your town, for he has no portion or inheritance among you. At the end of every third year, you shall bring out all the tithe of your produce in that year and shall deposit it in your town. The Levite, because he has no portion or inheritance among you, and the alien and the orphan and the widow who are in your town shall come and eat and be satisfied, in order that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hand which you do. Chapter 15. At the end of every 7 years, you shall grant a remission of debts. This is the manner of remission. Every creditor shall release what he has loaned to his neighbor. He shall not exact it of his neighbor and his brother, because the Lord's remission has been proclaimed. From a foreigner you may exact it, but your hand shall release whatever of yours is with your brother. However, there will be no poor among you, since the Lord will surely bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance to possess. If only you listen obediently to the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all this commandment which I am commanding you today. For the Lord your God will bless you as he has promised you, and you will lend to many nations, but you will not borrow, and you will rule over many nations, but they will not rule over you. If there is a poor man with you, one of your brothers, in any of your towns in your land, which the Lord your God has given you, you shall not harden your heart nor close your hand from your poor brother, but you shall freely open your hand to him and shall generously lend him sufficient for his need in whatever he lacks. Beware that there is no base thought in your heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of remission is near, and your eye is hostile toward your poor brother, and you give him nothing. Then he may cry to the Lord against you, and it will be a sin in you. You shall generously give to him, and your heart shall not be grieved when you give to him, because for this thing the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in all your undertakings. For the poor will never cease to be in the land. Therefore I command you, saying, you shall freely open your hand to your brother, to your needy and poor in your land. If your kinsman, a Hebrew man or woman, is sold to you, then he shall serve you 6 years, but in the seventh year you shall set him free. When you set him free, you shall not send him away empty-handed. You shall furnish him liberally from your flock and from your threshing floor and from your wine vat. You shall give to him as the Lord your God has blessed you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you. Therefore, I command you this day, it shall come about, if he says to you, I will not go out from you because he loves you and your household, since he fares well with you, then you shall take an awl and pierce it through his ear into the door, and he shall be your servant forever. And also you shall do likewise to your maid servant. It shall not seem hard to you when you set him free, for he has given you 6 years with double the service of a hired man, so the Lord your God will bless you in whatever you do. You shall consecrate to the Lord your God all the firstborn males that are born of your herd and your flock. You shall not work with the firstborn of your herd, nor shear the firstborn of your flock. You and your household shall eat it every year before the Lord your God in the place which the Lord chooses. But if it has any defect, such as lameness or blindness, or any serious defect, you shall not sacrifice it to the Lord your God. You shall eat it within your gates. The unclean and the clean alike may eat it, as a gazelle or a deer. Only you shall not eat its blood. You are to pour it out on the ground like water. Chapter 16. Observe the month of Abib, and celebrate the Passover to the Lord your God. For in the month of Abib, the Lord your God brought you out of Egypt by night. You shall sacrifice the Passover to the Lord your God from the flock and the herd in the place where the Lord chooses to establish his name. You shall not eat leavened bread with it. 7 days you shall eat with it unleavened bread, the bread of affliction, for you came out of the land of Egypt in haste. So that you may remember all the days of your life, the day when you came out of the land of Egypt. For 7 days no leaven shall be seen with you in all your territory, and none of the flesh which you sacrifice on the evening of the first day shall remain overnight until morning. You are not allowed to sacrifice the Passover in any of your towns which the Lord your God is giving you, but at the place where the Lord your God chooses to establish his name, you shall sacrifice the Passover in the evening at sunset, at the time when you came out of Egypt. You shall cook and eat it in the place which the Lord your God chooses. In the morning you are to return to your tents. 6 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day there shall be a solemn assembly to the Lord your God. You shall do no work on it. You shall count 7 weeks for yourself. You shall begin to count 7 weeks from the time you begin to put the sickle to the standing grain. Then you shall celebrate the Feast of Weeks to the Lord your God with a tribute of a freewill offering of your hand, which you shall give just as the Lord your God blesses you. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God. You and your son and your daughter and your male and female servants and the Levite who is in your town and the stranger and the orphan and the widow who are in your midst in the place where the Lord your God chooses to establish his name. You shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and you shall be careful to observe these statutes. You shall celebrate the Feast of Booths 7 days after you gathered in from your threshing floor and your wine vat, and you shall rejoice in your feast, you and your son and your daughter and your male and female servants and the Levite and the stranger and the orphan and the widow who are in your towns. 7 days you shall celebrate a feast to the Lord your God in the place which the Lord chooses, because the Lord your God will bless you in all your produce and in all the work of your hands, so that you will be altogether joyful. 3 times in a year all your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place which he chooses, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and at the Feast of Weeks, and at the Feast of Booths. And they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord your God, which he has given you. You shall appoint for yourselves judges and officers in all your towns, which the Lord your God is giving you, according to your tribes, and they shall judge the people with righteous judgment. You shall not distort justice, you shall not be partial, and you shall not take a bribe, for a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and perverts the words of the righteous. Justice and only justice you shall pursue, that you may live and possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not plant for yourself an Asherah of any kind of tree besides the altar of the Lord your God, which you shall make for yourself. You shall not set up for yourself a sacred pillar, which the Lord your God hates. This is the end of today's scripture reading. From today's scripture reading, I want to bring to your attention 2 things. The focus that God put on the importance of tithing. He reminds the people of Israel that when they go into the land that they need to tithe. You shall surely tithe all the produce from what you sow, which comes out of the field every year. And then secondly, the fact that the Lord instructed the people of Israel to give to the poor. The tithe was to provide for the Levite, the ones who were doing the work of God at the tabernacle. And they did not have an inheritance. They did not have their own land. They were to give themselves completely to the Lord. And therefore, they wouldn't be working land like the others did. So the tithe of their produce was supposed to go to the Levite. And then in the 3rd year, they were also supposed to be providing for the orphan and the widow through their tithes, a special tithe that was taken every 3rd year of the produce. It was to be deposited in their town, and it was to be divided among the orphan, the widow, and the alien, and the Levite as well. So we see this emphasis that the Lord has on giving, that they are to take a portion of what comes in, and a tithe actually means a tenth or a 10% of what your own increase. And for the Israelites, they were an agrarian society, so it was literally in the crops and in the cattle and livestock. So they took literal tenth of the number of sheep and the tenth of the number of goats, or a tenth of the amount of wheat that they harvested. So there was that sense of taking a tithe of their produce. In our society, most people don't work for crops or livestock. They work for money. So in our case, it would be actual a tenth of our finances that we receive. And then the other thing that's mentioned here in Deuteronomy 15 was a direct commandment to be generous to the poor. In verse 7 of chapter 15, it said, "If there is a poor man with you, one of your brothers, in any of your towns and your land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not harden your heart, nor close your hand from your poor brother, but you shall freely open your hand to him and shall generously lend him sufficient for his need and whatever he lacks. Beware that there's no base thought in your heart, saying the seventh year, the year of remission, is near, which is when they were to cancel debts, and they didn't want. He was warning them not to think, I won't ever get this money back because it's almost the year to let the debts go. And the Lord warns them, don't let your eye be hostile toward your poor brother and give him nothing. Then he may cry to the Lord against you, and it will be a sin in you. But the Lord then goes on to command him, you shall give generously to him, and your heart shall not be grieved when you give to him. Because for this thing, giving, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in all your undertakings. You shall freely open your hand to your brother, to your needy and poor in your land. And I want to bring to your attention that God's heart is a heart of generosity. God's heart is a heart of giving. And his people need to also be generous givers. You know, many people in our current society have a hard time when they see a poor person, especially if the person is begging. They want to just pass them by and not give anything, and they judge them. Oh, they would have gotten in this condition because maybe they don't work hard, or maybe they're a drug addict or an alcoholic. And so they have such judgment that they won't even open their heart or their hand toward their poor brother. And the scripture is very clear. Beware that you don't have a wrong thought in your heart and your eyes not hostile toward your poor brother, and that you give him nothing. So the Lord speaks to us from Deuteronomy about God's heart for the poor, God's heart for the orphan, God's heart for the widow, and God's heart that we be tithers. You know, it's been a popular notion in our New Testament days that tithing went out the window with the Old Testament, but I really disagree about that, because Jesus never canceled the tithe. He said, yeah, you should tithe, but you should also have justice and mercy. So he didn't say, yeah, tithing's out. Instead, he confirmed it, as well as said, but don't neglect also mercy and justice along with it. And I want to encourage you that God is always a God who blesses the generous person. This scripture in Deuteronomy 15 says, for the Lord your God will bless you as he has promised you, and you will lend to many nations and not borrow. And this was a direct statement about God's blessing for the obedience of his people to his word. And he's telling the people here, give generously, and your heart should not be grieved when you give, because for this thing, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in all your undertakings. And there are so many testimonies that we have of Christian businessmen who made it their determined purpose to tithe, even when they were in the beginning of their careers. And one of my favorite comes from John D. Rockefeller Sr., who is no longer alive, but was one of the wealthiest men in the United States for many, many years. And he said, I have tithed every dollar God has entrusted to me. And I want to say, if I had not tithed the first dollar I made, I would not have tithed the first $1 million I made. And that is a great testimony of a man determined to do what God's word said, and God blessing him financially. And this goes on and on. And another one of my favorites, and from another American industrialist, very prosperous man, who was the founder of the Kraft Cheese Company, J.L. Kraft, he said this, the only investments I have ever made which have paid constantly increasing dividend is the money I have given to the Lord. And I truly, truly love those testimonies. And they go on and on. Another one, you may be familiar with this company, and its founder was also a Christian businessman. It was the Quaker Oats Company, and the founder's name was Henry Kroll. And this man was a very generous giver, and he was a significant contributor to the work of Moody Bible Institute for so many years. And he told the story that as a young man, he received Christ as his Savior. And when he began his business career in a little Ohio factory, he promised God that he would honor him in his giving. And God honored him for that. God's blessing was upon his life, his business grew, and he increased his giving year after year. After more than 40 years of giving 60% of his income to God, not 10% like a tithe, but 60% of his income, Kroll testified, "I have never gotten ahead of God. He has always been ahead of me in giving." And I really love those stories because it speaks to us in our modern culture and in our modern day society where people are encouraged to hold on to as much of their money as they can. And yet the Word of God tells us that we're to be generous givers to the poor, that we're to take care of the widow and the orphan, and we're to tithe. We're to give to the work of God. And 10% is a starting point for people to give toward the work of the Lord. And another story that blessed me so much, and it really shows that God's Word is as true today as it ever was, comes from a story told about a couple of farmers here in my state of California. And there were two farmers, and their names were Rogers, and it was two brothers, and they came to California with very little money. But by saving and working really hard, they finally managed to purchase a farm, which was their longtime dream. At that time, the money crop was cotton. So the two brothers invested every penny that they could get in sowing cotton seed. And when the cotton plants were just out of the ground, a huge sandstorm blew through the San Joaquin Valley and destroyed everyone's crops. And the Rogers brothers were absolutely devastated. So one of the brothers called the church and asked their pastor to come and visit. And the pastor walked across the devastated field, and the brothers told him the whole story of how the sandstorm had come through and destroyed their newly tiny little budding crop of cotton. And they explained how everything they had, all the money that they had, was in that crop. "We don't have any money and we don't have any credit left to replant. We are completely ruined." They were just so devastated as they told the story to their pastor. The pastor knew that these brothers were dedicated Christians and that they had been very faithful tithers, giving to the church every single week. And so the pastor said to them, "Look, it's not really all that bad. The God we serve raised his own son from the dead after 3 days. I know he can raise cotton." So with that, the pastor sank to his knees in the dirt and prayed a simple little prayer. "Father, these men are tithers, and you said in your word that you would rebuke the devourer for the sake of the tither. I am asking you to manifest the power of your word and fulfill that promise right here in this cotton field. Bring this cotton back and give these men a good crop in Jesus' name. Amen." He got up, he dusted off his knees, and he told the two farmers that should do it. And he left. A few days later, the Rogers brothers called the pastor back. And there before their eyes, a good crop was rising from the ground. God had done what he said. God had rebuked the devourer for the sake of the tither. I tell you that story to encourage you that no matter where you're at, no matter what you're going through, God wants you to be a generous person. God wants you to tithe on what God gives you because he wants to bless you. It said here in Deuteronomy, "You shall give generously, and the Lord your God will bless you in all your work, because for this thing the Lord will bless you." Give to the poor, give to the widow and the orphan, pay your tithes of what God gives you, and then watch God do something amazing. Tithing has not gone out of style, nor has it been thrown out with the Old Testament. Instead, this is a principle God set down long ago, and he still is in the business of bringing to pass what he promised in his word. And that pastor was quoting from the book of Malachi, which said, "Test me in this, try me, and bring the tithe into the storehouse, and see if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that is greater than you can contain. And it goes on to say how the Lord will rebuke the devourer for the sake of the person who does obey the word and bring in the tithe to the house of God. So I want to encourage you, God is able to do something amazing for you as you line your life and your thoughts and your finances and everything about you up with the Word of God. God loves to bless His people. God's a generous God, and He loves when His people have His same heart of generosity. So don't hold back from giving. Don't have an attitude in your heart where you don't want to give to the poor and you're trying to hold on to what you have. God can bring you way more than you ever give, and that's His heart to do it for you in your life today. And I encourage you, teach your children to be givers as well. If they start young, it'll be a lot easier as they grow older and as they prosper and increase to continue to be givers and tithers. And that will bless their life for as long as they live. So God bless you and give you a victorious week.